Hello, you're listening to the DevEx Podcast, the place to learn all about developer experience, hosted by me, Pauline Navas.
And me, Mike Nicholas from Gitpod. It's great to have you join us. We'll be doing a deep dive on DevEx, along with industry experts, asking questions like, what even is DevEx? What is good DevEx? What is bad DevEx? And most importantly, why should we care about developer experience?
The aim of this podcast is to answer those burning questions and hopefully get you as excited as us about this growing developer experience space. Let's learn together to help bring back joy and speed to our developer workflows and get the job done. Let's do this. Today, to kick off our very first episode, we have Chirpo from The Zone Engineering, and we also have Lou, who is now a Gitpodder, but previously he was working with Chirpo too. I'll hand over to them to do a proper introduction.
Hi everyone, thanks for having me, very honored. My name is Chirpo, and I'm a head of developer experience at The Zone. And The Zone basically is the sports streaming company. Think about Netflix, but for sports, and with the main difference, our business is streaming live events.
I'm Lou. I'm currently a product manager at Gitpod, but I was previously working with Chirpo at The Zone as a principal engineer.
I think a good start is to just kind of dive into where you come from and how did you get started with developer experience and what is developer experience to you?
I joined The Zone 3 years ago, and I joined a very small team called, at the time, the core team. It was at the beginning, more or less, of The Zone engineering. It was a small team that was taking care mainly of the front-end pipelines. At The Zone, we started the early days with a micro front-end approach. It was a niche at the time, still initially a little bit as an approach, but nowadays it seems one of the new cool stuff. The company started growing rapidly, and especially on the platform side. And the core team basically was somehow dismantled because we were also taking care of some stuff that weren't related to tooling or front-end. And we wanted also to expand a little bit more, not just taking care of the front-end. And there were other people also in the company that were already talking about developer experience. We didn't know what it was at that time. We had an idea, and everyone was saying, "Ah, that's amazing. What is it? I don't know. We need to find out." As today, the team is growing. Today, we are 12 people distributed in 4 different countries. At the beginning, we started very small because also we wanted to understand what the hell is that? Because there's no literature on the web about developer experience. Our mission has been the same mission that we had since the beginning, is to empower every developer to reach their goals by providing the best tool in a supportive and a responsive way, basically. That's the gist of Lou was probably the DX number 3, but he was one of the founders of the DX team at The Zone.
And now we're so super excited and happy that he's joined us at Gitpod because he's also bringing that experience with him. So that's great.
Chirpo, I suppose, gave the backstory to developer experience within The Zone. And I suppose one thing that I've noticed over time is people think of developer experience in slightly different ways. So if you search developer experience in Google, you're probably going to get one of multiple different responses, or maybe you'll luckily get someone who's trying to kind of explain the differences between the different types of developer experience. And that's one of the sort of challenges that we had when we were kind of growing the team and thinking about how we were going to structure this, is if you Google developer experience, you get such a different take on it. So like one of the flavors of developer experience is this flavor of, you know, if you're a sort of a dev tooling company like Netlify, for instance, I know they have a sort of a developer experience team internally. I don't have much knowledge about how they're structured, but as far as I understand, it seems to be more of sort of applying user experience to a developer product. Whereas a lot of what we were doing was internal developer experience, or what is sometimes referred to, I guess, maybe as platform or as tooling or as infra. And there's a lot of different names for it. And I think we're kind of at this point now where I'm starting to see a lot more companies call this developer experience internally. I'm not sure why that is necessarily, if they, you know, if they just kind of they align with that term and the term makes sense for what they're kind of doing. But I'm definitely seeing a lot more companies kind of adopt that as an internal thing that they're wanting to invest in. And maybe that's also a reflection of companies just coming to acknowledge the fact that if they can make their developers that little bit more productive, that it can make a huge difference in terms of their output for the company, etc. So it's worth actually having dedicated people that are thinking about sort of those workflows that we're using every day and improving and sort of refining on those. But of course, developer experience applies in sort of a very broad way. So one of the challenges that we had initially as well was working out what the scope of developer experience was for us within DAZN, like what fits within that box of developer experience and what doesn't, and also the organizational challenges that brings with that as well.
There's also the funny bit in the sense that developer experience is a hot topic nowadays. Sometimes people are reaching out to me or to Lou or to other people that seems that they have a little bit of experience in developer experience, but everything is new for us as well. And especially sometimes I feel a little bit, I don't know if it's the right word, sorry, I'm Italian. I feel a little bit uncomfortable to answer those questions because I have just the context of my personal experience and our personal experience at DAZN. I cannot say, do this and you'll be successful. Absolutely not. Also because, and probably this is a theme that will pop up frequently during this conversation, it's really also a lot about people. It's not just about tooling, you know, or those two things are interconnected. So at the moment, I'm here personally, and I think Lou also to share our specific experience. That doesn't mean that what we are going to discuss today will work in other companies.
I think this is a very good point. As we go through and start to interview more people, we'll hopefully get a really broad view of what different people think of DevEx. One thing I want to touch on and go completely off script already is you were talking about the different meanings of DevEx in different teams and for different people. I think what's very closely related to that, and I'm curious how you do that at your workplace, is how do you measure success of your team? Like, how do you tell, you know, the leadership that it's worth investing in 12 people for that team? Maybe you can share a few words about that. Or, you know, how you would like this to improve.
Yeah, that's a common question. Can we digress a little bit talking about how engineering works at DAZN? Because I think this is also the key, right? So DAZN at the moment, you have like more or less 500 people in engineering and we are growing. The fact that we are distributed in the sense that we have like 5 main dev centers across Europe. And one of our motto is you build it, you own it, right? The fact that every team is responsible from A to Z of their services, they're building from the inception, the architectural point of view, development, testing, put in production, and also support. It's a very good model. What you can get is that you can move fast, right? You can move fast because you empower the teams, they're independent and stuff like that. What are the cons of this approach? Sometimes there's a lack of communication. So the DX in this case, it's like the glue between all the teams in engineering. So to try to avoid as much as you can the waste in rebuilding things that maybe the ABH team is building, or try to understand, okay, what are the common painful points across all the teams. But if you have another company with another structure, like more a waterfall-y approach or more like top-down, maybe the DX that we have at DAZN will not work. So to go back to your question, we started very small and I'm super happy that we decided not to start with like 8 people or 10 people in a team because we wanted to be sure that we could have an impact. Basically, what we had to do at the beginning was to gain the trust, not just from the, let's say, from the stakeholders, from the leadership level, but from the other engineers. And that is the thing that also helped us a lot to grow because if our customer really liked our services, it's very difficult also for stakeholders say, shall we invest or not? So yeah, clearly, because people were much more happier. How do we measure success? Well, our backlog could be potentially infinite, right? You can build thousands of tools. The problem is that which ones are you going to build? We are 11 people, so we have a limited capacity. So what we do is that basically we try to understand what will be the main tools or the main initiatives that will bring them the biggest impact. And based on that, we work on those specific tools. And by the way, I want to also to mention that we do internal tools. We don't work on the main product. But that doesn't mean that we are doing all the tooling. It will be impossible, right? For several reasons. Capacity, domain knowledge, etc. Anyone in DAZN could build their own tool in the team. What we are asking is that if they're building a tool, maybe to tell us, because maybe we can find an opportunity also for another team. So this is, again, the glue bit, right? we listen, we monitor the chats. For example, people are keeping complaining, oh, NPM is down, or this proxy is not working, or it takes ages to do this. So we listen a lot. And at the beginning, we were doing surveys. Well, lots of people were complaining about the pipelines, but we couldn't really understand what was the issue, right? Because there were, you know, imagine like 300 engineers complaining. All sorts of things can come up. I can do the metrics. I can do this. I can do that. So we did a survey, and then we analyzed the results. And we said, maybe the main pain point is the UI of this tool. What we did, we said, let's go in hackathon mode for 2 weeks. Let's try to rewrite this interface, and let's see how it goes. Suddenly, the complaints start dropping. This is how you measure things. Sometimes there are some processes. We had a very old process at the beginning because, of course, Dazone was born from another company. So they inherited a specific approval process to deploy and go live at the beginning. And it was a painful thing because it was taking, like, on average, I think it was 3-4 hours to get a green light. So we did a small tool, and now we got back to like 1 hour on average time to response to get the green light. And then we'll say, okay, seems that this thing is working. Can we do it better? And then we tweak and we improve the tool. And then the response, in order to get the green light, went down from 4 or 5 minutes on average. You need to measure it, and it's not always easy. That's why, for example, one of our values in DX is preferred data-driven decisions, because this is key.
I love data, and obviously you know, my head goes into this space sometimes, like, how do I measure this? Like, how do I understand the value that this is delivering? And we've had a bunch of conversations with other people from other teams. And I suppose one way that you could potentially come at this is kind of looking at productivity as a whole across all of your engineers. You've kind of got like the DevOps metrics about like cycle time and time to deploy and all this stuff. And maybe you could do something like that in the developer experience space. I haven't seen anyone necessarily publish a framework sort of as widely adopted as the DevOps one. But you could go on that sort of macro level. But what we actually started with, or what one way that we kind of broke that problem down, is by looking at the individual tools that we have as well as sort of individual products themselves. As Chirpa mentioned about like this change for our CI pipeline or some of these other tools that we invested in, we kind of treated those just like you would with a typical product, really. So we kind of outlined a revision for that product and then kind of success criteria for that product itself. For this particular product, what kind of metrics do we want to see changing? In that case, with the CI, you know, one of our metrics was the internal sentiment and sort of reducing some of the internal sentiment or issues that we had with the CI pipeline internally. So sort of a pragmatic choice of these different metrics, but on a more individual product, taking each aspect of what we were building and just building metrics around an individual product. Another thing that we did as well was we spent a lot of time looking through GitHub data. There is a tool that I think is missing out there in this space. You know, we've looked at some of the different SaaS options for using GitHub data to measure all these different metrics, like contributors in specific repositories and things like that. But looking from a lens of internally, I guess a lot of the GitHub features are external focusing for a company like Dazone to try and analyze and understand, you know, what contributors do we have across different repositories? Are we building a sort of healthy internal open source culture, that kind of thing? So we started building some internal tools as well to kind of extract data from GitHub and do sort of ad hoc analysis on top of that. That's kind of how we started digging into this rabbit hole of providing metrics and value for some of those individual products.
Also, to be honest, even if I'm talking in a very enthusiastic way, it's still a challenge for us to prove stuff by data. Why? Because you need to have initial data. If you're in a company that is, even if it's a startup with a big company, if it's a company that keeps evolving, it's very difficult to have consistent data everywhere. For example, now that we are moving from drone to GitHub Action, sometimes we are missing some data because we didn't have the proper integration. I know that I shouldn't say that, but somehow you just need to have trust and faith, in the sense that sometimes when they're asking me, how do you measure that? Well, I count how many people are smiling that day. I know this sounds a little bit cheesy like that, but it's true at the end of the day. So
it is a factor. It is a metric, right?
Yeah, it is.
Reduce the number of WTFs.
Yeah, absolutely. Listening to both of you just gets me really excited. It seems like we're still super early and there's going to be still like changes in the space. There's no framework established, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised the more this gains traction that in the future, someone listening to this right now would be like, hey, that is a good idea. We should do something in that, create a framework for developers. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Similar to how we have the, you know, by now pretty old 12-factor app methodology. We need something where there's some kind of guidelines or things to do about, you know, DevEx, developer experience, saying that, hey, you know, follow these 12 things and you'll see good things happening.
We are talking about the developer experience as a new thing. As in our field, nothing is really new from my point of view, in the sense that, as I keep saying all the time, every company has a developer experience. Not every company has a developer experience team. So that's the main thing. One of the questions that, sorry if I'm asking questions to myself, one of the questions that we are getting, where shall I start? How shall I set up a DX team? Don't put too much structure. Try to tackle a challenge and maybe just set up a working group, like 3-4 people, and start building from there. This is, and which is basically our story. Yes, it's true that it was more official at the beginning. We started as a DX team. But this is also the approach that we took. Sometimes there are some initiatives in the developer experience team where we get people from other teams temporarily to work on a specific project for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, because probably they are the best people to work on their specific need. For maybe they have this specific domain knowledge, maybe they have a specific skills or experience in a specific language or technology. It should be a collective effort.
I also think that when you join a new team, my advice is find an area and become an expert in that. And I think that could be writing tests. It could be writing documentation. It could be taking a legacy system and make it better, whatever. But I think one area here is also to, you know, just look at the developer experience, especially because you're new to the team. You just went through that onboarding of that project. Like, take that opportunity and be that person who has the most recent experience, and then just improve that, even if it's just writing a script to automate a piece of the onboarding and basically just kick that off. That may change how the rest of the team perceive the developer experience for the product, and it may just go from there and turn into its own team. So I think it's a great area to add some value to any team.
What is clear to me is that from the technology point of view, everything is going micro. Front-ends, microservices, components, even the team structure, that the organization will adapt to that model. That's why we should invest more in developer experience, because it's clear to me that we are empowering even more engineers and teams. Now, an engineer in general is someone that's not just writing code, but takes care of the product, even if they are also working somehow more in an isolation for with their product, with their services. This bit of the developer experience is even more important. That's why probably is more emerging today compared to 5 years ago or even before. It's a trend, right?
My mind goes in a kind of weird and interesting place with this, because I was quite literally chatting to a software engineer from NASA the other day. He was basically porting this super old piece of code from an old code base into a new one. And what then he was talking about was quite funny, is back in the day, yes, you didn't have a lot of tools and things like that, but you also didn't have a lot of dependencies and stuff. So he kind of like was refactoring this old piece of code, taking it over and rewriting it. I don't know what he was rewriting it from and to, but he was just mentioning about all the different dependencies kind of being missing. That's the thing, like as time has gone on, we've got more and more tools available to us. You know, the micro stuff that Chirpo mentions about all of the changes in the way that we do stuff in the cloud, etc. And there's all these tools that we kind of have to glue together, which are great, having all these different things at our fingertips, but then we also need to figure out how to put these all together. Otherwise, I know we've all sort of felt that you kind of have that like tooling fatigue, especially in the ecosystem and from a career perspective. But when you join a new company, there's a whole bunch of new technology that you need to wrap your head around, all this stuff to learn, all of these different tools. And I'm kind of laughing to myself now, but maybe digging ourselves out of this hole with more tools is not necessarily the fix. I don't know. Tools got us into this state. Will tools get us out? I'm not sure. But the reality is, the situation that we're in is technology is complicated now. There's lots of moving parts. And if you want to kind of bring engineers into your company, if you want to onboard them, if you want them to be productive, which I'm sure pretty much all companies do, then you kind of need that developer experience. As the industry has shifted, and you know, we've kind of gone to this idea within the cloud, we hand off lots of stuff to other people, but there's still a load of complexity that kind of falls on us that we have to kind of plug together ourselves. I think it's just kind of a way that the industry is going. As we grow with these tools, we need to figure out a way to plug them all together and give people a way to be productive within the sort of modern tech environment.
Let's talk about what the best developer experience you've ever experienced yourself as a developer, whether that's in your own teams or as individual engineers?
So I just remember my first time with the Heroku CLI. I think it was, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And I was amazed by that. Also, seeing some colors in the terminal, I say, wow, can you do colors in the terminal? I know that today we are used to emoji and everything in the terminal, but back in the days when you were using your bash, it was like black and white. That was the option.
We had a document as we were preparing for this, and I was joking. And I mentioned something. I was like, I'm calling dibs, which is like, I guess, like UK slang for saying that, like, okay, I'm calling this specific one because I want to talk about it. There was basically one feature that we implemented on a specific application within DAZN, and I've kind of wanted that exact feature in pretty much every application ever since. So on our internal CI system, we basically had some, for all intents and purposes, basically just an error map. So, you know, you sort of had a string match or a regex match or whatever for a specific error, and it would give you just a different prompt for a suggestion. And basically, if we knew what the fix was, we would provide it. And if we didn't, we would, you know, sort of defer or kind of share some documentation or something like that. And I just felt like that sort of tooling around errors and error suggestions is like really hitting at the heart of developer experience. When something goes wrong, or when you have an issue that you're kind of being nudged back into the right direction, or you're almost just given the solution to the problem. And I see this in a lot of tools nowadays where I kind of want that exact same experience. You want to harness the power of a community because it's kind of like a Stack Overflow type solution here to the developer experience, because what we could then do is provide that config for these error suggestions to the community. And every time the community would come forward with the same error, what we could just do is just codify that. So we could, you know, write that up in the config. Next time that error comes up, the next user then will know what the fix is to that specific issue. And you're kind of like applying this like Stack Overflow thing to your internal tooling, which I think is, for me, is kind of hitting at the heart of DX. Anytime I see anything with like really neat error suggestions, you know, you get an error in your CLI and it kind of just gives you the answer. You can just copy paste it. That for me is just, that's kind of like the essence of DX.
So many ideas for GitHub suddenly. They all just started coming in when you said that. I was like, hang on. That's incredible.
Why we did that? Someone in the team woke up in the morning and said, oh, I can do that. It's just because we were realizing this pattern. Every time platform or DX was releasing a software or a new feature, or I don't know, even though we were deprecating a service or an API, whatever, you can write as many blog posts as you want. You can send emails. For sure, someone will not read it. It's we're human beings. It happens, right? The pattern was that every time was a new deprecation, we were releasing something new or something different. For 1 week in the DX support chat, which is, from my point of view, also talking about support is very important, at least for us, we were seeing this trend. People asking the same question over and over. I said, what shall we do? Shall we just knock at everyone's door and tell, hey, we deprecate that, you remember? That's why this idea was born. And again, this is being somehow responsive in helping and try to make our customers' life better and also our life better, because otherwise we will just spend time in supporting things. It's not something that it takes ages of development or planning or using 10,000 different technologies. No, it's very simple and very effective.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's good to go back to basics and not overcomplicate things.
Even if it's not perfect, or we don't have to support, let's say, all the browsers in the world, because it's fine. Small quick wins, sometimes they have a huge impact.
If we take this to a more personal level in terms of what's the best developer experience improvement that you've made yourself to the tool. Now, you both worked in that field for a while, and that's what you did day in, day out. So good luck picking your favorite one. But what is something that kind of stands out?
If I have to think about myself, it's not a tool. I'm really happy about what's DX today at DAZN after 2 years and a half. For me, it was more about the community bit. If I have to think about improvement, from my point of view, is setting up some sort of a community around developer experience.
I think that's extremely valuable to have, you know, the shared responsibility eventually as well, where you get everybody to see the benefits and jump in. It's a very, very good point.
Yeah, and this isn't a podcast about community, but if it was, I would jump in and explain to you why community is at the heart of everything and it should be prioritized. So yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that.
I feel very similar to Chirpo in the sense of it's hard for me to come forward and say, you know, XYZ is something that I did, because I think over time, what we were trying to do, I suppose, in a DAZN context is really just elevate the other engineers and help them and facilitate them to come forward with their tools. That became a very sort of central theme of my role, is really working with Chirpo and these other developers internally to kind of help them put forward their tools. And if tools emerge, then we were there to kind of support them and build on top of them. So it's a bit difficult in that sense, because really the heroes of the story were the engineers themselves. It wasn't necessarily us. Ultimately, we would have done the best job possible if we made ourselves redundant, right? If we didn't have a job and the developers just all did it themselves, that's sort of the preferred end state. I feel a little bit like I'm copping out in terms of providing like a super nerdy, hyper technical developer experiencey feature. But as from an internal perspective, I think one of the big things is that community aspect as well. Everything we did mostly really was done as a team. So it's hard to put my name on a particular feature that makes it difficult.
It's good that we cannot put a name. It means that it will grow organically. So I'm really sad, of course, that Lou left. Of course, you can imagine. But the good thing, you can still see that TXT is still working. And probably even if I'm leaving tomorrow for whatever reasons, or if I change my focus, I still think that the exit does all will be not go away. That means that you build something from the community perspective that is still sustainable.
We touched on how a developer experience is only going to grow. Where do you see that growth going?
The actual mission is it stays tools and tooling. And this is also the easiest way to sell it, even internally and externally. But at the end of the day, for me, I would like that 360 degrees developer experience, where it's also there's a culture bit, where it's the community aspect of it inside of a company. Because, for example, we are already doing some of those kind of things in DX. And the problem is that it's not in our mission or it's not really in our objectives, but it's somehow complementary. DX for me shouldn't be just about tools. It should be about the experience from the onboarding or the time you spend in the company as an engineer, what you do, how you get in touch with other people, how you foster discussions, contribution, and this kind of thing.
I like how you mention people. That's really important. And I think it's something we often, in tech in general, forget. So I really like honing in that message.
From my side, it would be nice if the industry moves towards doubling down maybe on the developer experience term. We talked about it before, that there are lots of different terms for this type of thing. And from our side, it was always really hard to find resources to guide our journey and read about what other people were doing. And like I mentioned, I think a lot of other companies are going this way. So it would be very cool if the industry kind of starts to consolidate on some of this. And, you know, some of the, maybe if it's developer experience that we go ahead with, that would be really cool, because it would be nice to see more communities coming out of the back of this. I can see more companies already adopting this. I'm not 100% sure necessarily what's driving that change. Maybe it's just awareness from those companies. Lots of other things that we talked about earlier on today. But I think more companies will continue to adopt it. And, you know, we're going to see more communities come up around it and more discussions, maybe more conferences, meetups, that type of thing. Podcasts, hopefully, like this one as well, where people are talking about developer experience a little bit more and paying a bit more attention to it.
As we said at the beginning, this is at the very early stages of what's possible. When I look back at in the last 10, 15, 20 years, we have always had these phases of, hey, should we write tests or not? And then at some point we agreed, maybe that's a good idea, so let's write tests. And then we had like, should we write documentation or not? And DevX, I think, is that same kind of, you know, is this a good thing? Should we start to focus on? And clearly we start to agree that the answer to that is yes. And I think it's exciting to see that we're heading in a direction where this becomes a real important thing for anybody. One thing I want to kind of wrap up the podcast with is, doesn't have to be DevX related. This is completely, you know, open-ended. But I'd like you to share a fun thing of the week, like a recognition, a shout out to somebody, or anything that you want to get some attention to that you found incredible in the last couple of days.
There's a book that recently came out from Luca Mezzalira. He was working at DAZN as well. Now he's working as a principal architect at AWS. It's called Building Micro Frontends. There's a lot of bits about communities and people. It's very rare still nowadays to find a book that is technical in its essence, and it mentions also the people side of things.
We'll leave it in the show notes for people to have a look at as well. How about you, Lou?
This is a tough one. I could mention anything, but I'm thinking if people have made it this far into the podcast, kind of listening to about internal DX, I feel like I probably should give a little bit of a head nod towards the backstage from Spotify, because if I'm talking developer experience, this tool kind of has to come up for this type of topics. For those who are not aware, basically Spotify open sourced this tool that I believe that they had something internal and they kind of rebuilt it or cleaned it up and put it external and open sourced it. And it's just been really cool because it's built a community of people around that tool that are solving a very similar problem. And I just don't think anyone else other than a company like Spotify could have solved that problem. If you'd have explained that in abstract, I don't think a lot of other people would have understood. It's a very specific to middle to large companies that are trying to get a handle on sort of all their software. And it was a lot of the stuff that we were doing in DAZN. When they announced it and released it and we went through their docs, it was quite striking because so many of the concepts and the ideas that they put in there, we were also talking about. I almost felt like they'd come in and like stolen our best ideas and like even built them somewhat better to some degree. As a developer experience community, we can all kind of get around that and sort of contribute to it. They're doing a very difficult job, which is ultimately trying to apply a sort of taxonomy to internal tools, which is very difficult when you dive into the weeds of it, but it can be super useful. And I think to the question about where developer experience is going, it'd be really interesting to see where Backstage is a couple of years from now. And I think we're 100% going to see some competitors come up to it as well, some alternatives, because they're going to pave the way. It's going to be clear that there's a huge market for this. And then other companies will come out with, you know, slightly different twists on the same idea as well.
Mike, I want to flip the question to you. We're involved in this now.
There's no way to get out of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it very generic, but I think I'm going to give a shout out to anybody who's building a command line interface that makes life of developers easier. I think there's an underrated aspect to developer experience where you have CLI tools that help you make things easier, whether that's like things like Fig that automates your auto-completes your CLI and things like that. It's these things where the terminal is such a central aspect to how we develop and what we do on a daily basis. Anything we do to make our experience there better, I think this deserves a shout out. I'm excited to see where this goes.
And just to finish off, I'll share mine. For me, it's actually the Gitpod community. Who would have saw that coming? Over the past few weeks, it's grown a lot, and we've actually created a developer experience section there, and we hope to grow that area a bit more and have a few more conversations from people who are interested in developer experience. I'm really pleased that we've talked about community and we've talked about people, because at the end of the day, from my perspective, it's one of the most important pieces in tech in general, but also developer experience. A huge thank you again to Chirpo and Lou for sharing their insights for the first ever DevEx podcast episode. We'll leave some links in the show notes for you to go connect with them, as well as the recommendations that they shared today. Thank you for listening to this episode. Do you want to chat some more about developer experience? Why not jump over to our community Discord server at gitpod.io/chat? We have a dedicated channel there for us to talk all about developer experience. And just to make sure that you don't miss the next episode, follow us on your favorite podcast platform or subscribe to our newsletter, DevEx Digest.
You can also find out more about Gitpod on gitpod.io. Start the workspace and tell us about your developer experience. See you in the next episode.